Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate. Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and co-host Mikey McCarthy. And Michael, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to look across the table and see you.
In person. Live in person.
Now I can throw stuff at you if you're saying something I don't like.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. If you want to do that, you feel free, my friend. So anyway, we're here and we're on an open show this week. Last week we had Larry Kotlikoff and we were talking about his book Money Magic. And, you know, it was a great book. I thoroughly enjoyed it. A lot of great concepts because he thinks of money very differently than the typical financial services person. As Larry said, most people in the financial services industry is designed to give advice to then ultimately sell you a product. And Larry looks at it from a standpoint of what is the best thing for you. What do you need to, what are you trying to accomplish? How can you do it? And what's the best economic advice, which is the way a true professional advisor should operate. And so anyway, that was a great show. But tonight we're on an open show. That means you get to be the guest. You get to determine what the conversation will be. It's not just going to be steamrolled on you with one topic, and we're going to talk for an hour with that person on a topic. Now you get to call in and say, hey, I want to talk about 401ks. Hey, I want to talk about taxes. I've got a tax problem. Help me solve this. Or I'm going to get Social Security. Am I doing the right thing? What am I going to do? How do I do this? Whatever the topic is, you get to determine the direction of the conversation tonight. And if you want to do that, it's 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question. Mike, this weekend, you know, I have my condo up for sale.
Oh, is this what your this is your strategy for sales?
What's that?
Are we gonna say the URL?
Got a contract on it, and the contract is signed, and so, you know, and so forth. But I had to go to I had to have a lot of showings in 2 weeks that it was for sale. Okay.
Wow.
And so on Sunday, I had showings all from 11 o'clock on 3 or 4 o'clock. So I figure, what am I going to do? You know, I've done enough taxes. My brain's fried. I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and start doing taxes. So I decide to go to Fox Hollow and play a round of golf because I haven't played Fox Hollow since I was like 22 years of age.
It was
a totally different course. It used to be called Longview, you know, when I was last there. And
across from Delaney, right?
Across from Delaney. And I met a delightful young man, Chris, and his son, who was just a delight also, Grayson Sporer. And I told him I'm going to give him a shout-out tonight
because
he was a listener. He saw my vest, and he said, Financial Consulate, right? And he said, you're on WCBM, aren't you? And I said,
well, that's cool.
Yeah. He goes, let me think. And he says, Rod Barowie, right? And I go,
oh, not him.
I go, you really just wanted to hurt me, didn't you? He goes, oh, I apologize. Anyway, so it was good. And we got callers calling in, Mikey, so we might as well go to our callers. And look at this, Chris. I'm going to put my glasses on so I know who I'm actually going to be talking to. So we're going to go to Doug in Curtis Bay. Doug, how are you doing?
I'm doing real good.
What's up, my friend?
I'm getting ready to retire.
Good, like good for you.
I'm 67 and a half.
Okay.
Is there any benefit in me waiting till I'm 68 and as far as how much money I'm going to get? Could I do it now? Is there any difference between and that's 6 months?
Do you have enough assets that you could live on without taking the Social Security for the next couple of years?
Yeah, I'm still working.
Oh, you are still working?
Yes.
Well, then why would you take Social Security if you're still working?
Because I'm not going to be working in another 6 months.
Okay.
I'm ready to retire. And
well, what I'm asking, though,
go ahead and take it now and not wait the 6 months.
Well, no, I think you should wait the 6 months because you're just going to pay taxes on it, and you're going to get about a 4% increase in your Social Security benefit by waiting 6 more months. And here's another little interesting trick, Doug. So 6 months from now, you can go in and apply if you want to, okay? And they'll say to you, okay, Doug, you're going to get whatever, $3,000 a month. Okay, let's just use that number. You could either take the $3,000 a month, or you could take a lump sum check for the 6 months before and get the exact same benefit as you would get right now. So by waiting the 6 months, you create yourself an interesting opportunity. Whereas if you start collecting now, you can still go 6 months back, but you would go 6 months back in even a lower Social Security check. Whereas if you wait 6 months, you can then make the decision whether you want the benefit that's available now with a—and when I say now, I mean right now, today— with a lump sum check for 6 months, which would be like $18,000 in our scenario, or you could say, no, I want the higher monthly Social Security check. So I would wait the 6 months and then make your decision.
Another thing you might want to think about is, do you have any really serious medical conditions? That's one of the things that some people will consider.
Are you married or single?
I'm single at the moment, and have some medical conditions, but not serious.
Okay.
A couple of small operations when I retire, I'm going to do, but
yeah, so
they're not serious.
I would at least wait the 6 months, and then that way you can make the decision whether you want a lump sum with today's Social Security check for the rest of your life, or whether you want the higher Social Security check for the rest of your life. So that's what I would do.
Okay, thank you kindly.
All right, buddy, take care. Good question. You know, a lot of people don't know about that 6 month backward. If you got to be over your full retirement age in order to get the 6 month benefit backward, you know? Anyway, we got a couple callers online. I hope you'll hold with me because I have to take my first pause. We're on open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Was that like...
Well, hold on. We are
stretch.
Still stretching.
That's stretching.
This is what stretching sounds like. But
Why don't we use sign language?
We got a couple callers on the line, but there's plenty of room for more. So if you have a call that you're...
I'm going to go to the call. Is that okay, Chris? Yeah? All right. Yeah.
No, it isn't.
Oh, well, I got to put you back on hold. Okay, go ahead. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're going to roll right away. Robert in Kent Island, how can we help you, Robert? Sorry, I was almost going to you, but Chris called me off right at the last moment.
Thanks for taking my call, Drew. I love your show. I constantly listen to it, and you're a great man.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm 87 years old, divorced, selling my home. Probably worth about $400,000, no mortgage. Does that affect my Social Security?
No, not at all. Only earned income can, and only if you're under 67 years of age.
So I wouldn't be penalized by Social Security?
Well, you know, let me, you know, the answer is no with the statement you're making. But if you sell that house, what did you pay for it?
125.
And what's it worth now, you say?
400.
400, probably.
400, okay. Now, you said you got divorced, right?
Right.
When you get
years ago. 8 years before I bought this house.
Before you bought that house, okay.
Correct.
Did you put money into that house of any significance?
Probably another $75,000. So I probably got $200,000 invested.
Well, there you go. It's a tax-free sale if it's your primary residence. What's that?
All right.
It's 100. Yeah, because you see, it's your gain minus $250,000 for a single person.
Right.
So in other words, if you bought it for $400 and you got a cost basis of $200 in it, your gain's $200. You get to wipe out $250 as a single person, so it's tax free and it'll have no impact on anything.
No impact on Social Security or anything.
Or anything. You will not pay any taxes on it. It's all $400,000 will be yours if your cost basis is $200.
Hey, you're the man.
All right, sir. You take care.
And bye-bye.
Keep listening. I appreciate it, sir.
I do all the time, believe me.
All right, buddy.
Have a great day.
Take care. We're going to Don in Falston. Don, how can we help you?
Drew, I need help. I don't really need help, but I have a question for you. Last year, I turned 65, so I got the Medicare Part B, the Medicare, and I'm a retired federal employee, so I have the windfall profits thing going, so I don't get much Social Security, even though I had 60 quarters. So my Social Security was about, $350, $400 a month, and fortunately or unfortunately, any way you want to look at it, I'll say fortunately, I made too much money last year, and, you know, they're saying they want their money. Social Security wants their money back. They stopped paying the Medicare Part B. I sent Medicare Part B a check last night to cover the part that they need. And I'm just curious, are they going to kick it back on eventually when it gets paid back? Have they suspended it? I haven't called them yet, but I'm about ready to. I just haven't had time.
So here's how it works, Don, okay? So What Don's saying is that he was collecting Social Security and he's not at his full retirement age yet. Because he's not at his full retirement age yet, which I'm going to assume, Don, for you is 66 in either 4 months or 6 months.
It's actually 66 in 2 months, which I hit December 7th of 2021.
Of 2021. Now, last year, if you hit your full retirement age at 66 in 2 months, and you hit that last year.
It's probably the year before, okay? It was 2020. I probably made too much. And I am curious about 2021 because I made a bundle again last year.
Well, in order for them to take anything away from you last year, you would have had to make well over $50,000. Did you manage to do that?
I think we kept it barely under that.
Okay, well, if you didn't make more than $50,000 last year, and that's the year you turned your full retirement age, then you will not be penalized by the Social Security Administration, okay? They won't ask you to give any back. If your full retirement age was 66 in 2 months and you hit that in December of 2021, okay?
Correct.
Now, in 2020, because you weren't at your full retirement age year, you would have only been able to earn $19,000 a year. And they were taking back one for two of every dollar you made over $19,000. So if you made $45,000, you would have easily lost $20,000, you know, something of that sort. So, you know, they took it back. Now, here's the good news. It's not really a penalty. It seems like a penalty because you got it and then they're asking you to give it back. But what's going to happen now is when you paid it back, when you turn your full retirement age, they're going to readjust your Social Security check to give you more money per month than what you would have gotten if you didn't pay that back. Because they're basically not going to discount that portion of your Social Security because they took it back from you. Am I kind of making any of that clear?
Yeah, and like I didn't know that, and I was curious about that. Now, if I'm still okay, so I'm still paying into Social Security now, you know, because I'm still making a ton of money. Well, not a ton, but half a ton. And is my Social Security going to go up and be revalued because I'm still paying into it, or is it locked in at some point?
If you continue to work and you continue to add numbers to the equation, you will continue to get higher and higher Social Security checks, not just the cost of living increase, but you'll get a recalculation because Social Security uses the top 35 years of earnings. So right now, you probably only have like 10 or 15 years of earnings. And if you continue to work and you add another 5 or 10, now you'll have 25 years of earnings. So it's the top 35 that they use. And you've got a bunch of zeros that they're using in there. And a lot of people misunderstand that windfall elimination provision that you talked about as a federal worker. So, you know, they're not treating you unfairly at all. They're not treating you unfairly at all. They're treating you perfectly fairly. And if you keep working, they're going to keep increasing that Social Security check even more than the cost of living. All right?
Great. Yeah, I feel blessed. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just curious. It's easier to talk to you than dial the 800 number and talking to Social Security.
They are tough to get a hold of, you know? It used to be that they would answer the phone at 6 o'clock, and then it was 7 o'clock. Now they don't answer the phone until 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then they don't even answer the phone.
Sounds like all good news for me, Drew. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. You take care. Enjoy.
Have a great night. Thanks.
All right. We're on an open show. Lines are all open. So if you want to be on for the second half of the show, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, because all lines are open. We've got to take a break fairly quickly here. I've got 30 seconds. I'm going to take every second of them, too, you know?
You know what I was thinking about? This year is another year where there's so many new things or different things that when people do their tax returns, and making sure that the people at home that do their tax returns on their own make sure that they include those stimulus payments they may have gotten at the beginning of the year so that they don't accidentally file their return wrong. So
yeah. There are lots of things. Dependent care expense is a big one this year that's changed, and you have to be careful of that, especially if you have more than one child.
Take it
away. Anyway, Chris, all yours, buddy.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Michael P. McCarthy. And we're on an open show, Michael.
Open show, yeah.
Open show. That means you get to call in. I got callers on the line, but still plenty of lines open.
Plenty of time.
410-922-6680 if you want to call in and direct the conversation. Social Security seems to be a hot topic tonight, but people like taxes. This time to be doing taxes. We were talking during the break, Mike and I, about the new dependent care expense deduction. So if you and your spouse are both working, you got young children that are going to daycare or you know, maybe they're going to preschool or something like that, and you're spending money to have them taken care of while you're at work, there are some really new cool things you ought to be making sure you're thinking about. So anyway, there's lots of topics that we could talk about. But right now, hold on, Mike. I got to put my glasses back on.
Maybe we should switch seats.
Maybe, but not really. Albert in Essex, how can we help you?
Yeah, Drew, first-time caller.
Thank you.
My main question is about my daughter's Social Security. Her husband passed away when she was 50.
Okay.
And she did not get any this widow's Social Security because there were no children under 18 at that time.
Okay.
And they said she had to wait. So she waited until, 59 and a half or 60 or something? That's
60
what she
is
now.
The earliest that she can claim Social Security. But let me ask you a quick question. Did your daughter work also?
Yes, she had to work because they weren't giving her anything at 50.
And I know, but did she work before that also?
I would say probably. She worked for a lawyer for quite some time. I would say yes.
See, because, you know, where your daughter is an interesting scenario because she's going to be able to choose between which one of her benefits, either her survivor benefit or her own benefit, which one's going to ultimately be the greatest and the survivor benefit maxes at age 66. Her own personal benefit maxes at age 70. But in the interim, she can get the other one without affecting the other one. And if that makes any sense, I understood what I said. Go ahead. Ask your question.
She called when she was 60, and they said that she was making too much money now, so she's not entitled to anything.
Okay, and what they're saying is correct, okay? Because if you take Social Security before your full retirement age, even if it's survivor benefit Social Security, and you make more than $19,000 a year, and that's pretty close. It's not the exact number, but if you make more than $19,000, then $1 for every $2 you earn over $19,000 is going to be reduced from your Social Security check. So let's say she's going to get $20,000 a year. Let's say she's making $50,000 a year. Well, $50,000 is $31,000 more than $19,000. One for two, that's $15,500.
Good math.
Is going to take away, and she would only get a couple dollars worth of Social Security left based on the scenario I just gave you. Now, if she's making $60,000 or $70,000, one for two is going to wipe out anything she possibly would get. So that's how it works. And she's got to sit back and think about what's the best strategy for her. And if she could live off of just maybe $19,000 a year of work and the Social Security, she could probably cut back dramatically if she wants to. But she wants to keep working, making a lot of money before her full retirement age, which for her is age 67. Then she's got to wait until she's 67.
Well, basically, since she's been very disappointed, she thought she would get something at that, but gee whiz, you got a job, you don't get it. She is definitely thinking now of just taking her Social Security at 62 and stopping working. She's still single, her house is paid for, and that's what her plan is right now. I was just calling up for her to see if she might have missed something or somebody told her something wrong, but you validated that.
It's absolutely correct that you start collecting Social Security, either survivor benefit or retirement benefits, before your full retirement age, which for her is 67, you're going to lose $1 for every two over $19,000.
But, Drew, in the scenario he just played out, if she goes to 62, stops working,
yeah,
she could then take the spousal benefit.
Her own benefit, or the survivor benefit.
She could take the survivor benefit,
okay,
and then let hers continue to grow.
Correct.
And then take hers later. That would probably be the best economic thing for her, as long as she's going to plan to live a good long life.
But if she likes what she's doing and she's working, I would suggest she work all the way up until 67, the year she turns 67. She hates working.
I don't think she would agree with you with that.
All right.
She's worked a long time, and like I said, she's 60. She lost her husband at 50. And
I understand. She
wants to retire at 62.
Do that. Take the retirement at 62. Take her own benefit, and then at 67, go back in and get the survivor benefit, or take survivor benefit, and then at age 70, go back in and get her own benefit. That's the way you do it. All right, Albert.
Okay. Now, one quick more question. It has nothing to do with Social Security. Average cost buying stock. You buy 100 stocks at $20. You buy the same stock at $40. They're both, let's say, short term, and you sell 100. What is your cost basis? 30.
It's the price you paid for it.
I'm sorry.
It's whatever price you paid for it. So if you bought one at 20 and one at 40,
two different times.
Yeah, but you see, the way you do it is you do specific identification normally. So you say, well, I'm selling these stocks that I bought at 20, or no, I'm selling these stocks that I bought at 40. That's the way that operates. I got to run. I got a lot of callers here that I got to get to.
Okay.
All right. Good question, though. Excellent question there, Tom in Mount Washington. How can I help you?
Good evening. I got a 72 now. I'm going to have to take RMDs. I'm going to have an AGI, about $200,000, 70 of which will be RMD.
Okay.
Now, I have almost no money in Roth, and you can tell from that RMD that I got a lot of non-Roth money. And
okay.
I'd like to be doing some serious conversions. And I wanted to ask about, I've got stocks that have appreciated like 4 and 5 times. So, you know, if the stock's worth, let's say, 100 now, I bought it at 15 or 20. So this huge capital gain. So the question is, what do you think? I could take these stocks with huge capital gains and put them in a donor-advised fund, because I'm planning over my lifetime to give maybe $250,000.
Okay.
So I'm willing to put that
your,
in.
Your question, Tom, is not one that's going to be easy answered on this phone call. And let me explain why. Because let's say you give $200,000 worth of stock into a donor advised fund. Now, keep in mind that highly appreciated assets is limited to a charitable deduction of 30% of adjusted gross income. So if your adjusted gross income is $200,000, like you said, that means you'd only get about $65,000 of that charitable deduction in that year. So your strategy is okay, but you also have to consider qualified charitable distributions. That's up to $100,000 of your IRA every year you could give to charity absolutely 100% tax-free, okay? So, you know, there's lots of different strategies you can use, and there's no perfect answer. You really have to strategize as to how do I make sure that when I give appreciated assets away, I've got the AGI to support it, and if I'm going to do qualified charitable distributions, because think about it. If I give $50,000 in a qualified charitable distribution, I could then take $50,000 more and convert it to a Roth IRA, because now it's the equivalent of what would have happened if I just took my RMD, right?
Okay.
So you got a lot of interesting things that you could do, and you really need to make sure that you strategize it properly. There is no easy answer to this question. It's a great question. You just need to make sure you find yourself a good tax person who can give you good advice on this and guide you to make the best decision for you and your charities.
Well, I heard there's a good tax guy on WCBM on Wednesdays. Is he open to a consultation on something like this?
We do it all the time. Matter of fact, I was just doing it with a client just 2 days ago. So, you know, we did the exact same thing. We had highly appreciated assets. We had qualified charitable distributions. And we had to figure out the best strategy to do it with.
410-823-SAVE.
There you go.
All right.
Financial Consulate. Look us up, and we'd love to talk to you. Okay, my friend?
I'll just be repetitious. You the man.
Take care. We're going to Jim in Easton. Jim, how can we help you?
Hey, good afternoon. Great show as always. Buffered portfolios. Can you get into that a little bit?
I couldn't understand.
I couldn't
that.
Hear you.
A buffered portfolio.
A buffered portfolio. Buffered in the sense of you're buying put options and things of that sort?
Well, I heard on a radio show here, there's a buffered, called a buffered portfolio you can invest into, and it sounds like it's a short-term annuity.
Yeah, well, you know, all that bull stuff that they give about annuities, you know, you know, you're paying dearly for it. There's nothing wrong with it. You just have to basically understand what you're paying for and what you're getting, you know, and so forth. So, but I'm not familiar with what there's.
You know, there's things called buffered ETFs that have like covered calls and things in them.
Yeah, you know.
But
I mean,
bet you what you're saying is a term someone made up to sell you some insurance along with your portfolio.
Yeah, that's what I would think, Jim. I got to run. That's a great question, though.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
There you go. Thank you, Chris. All right, Chris, we got to take a pause. We'll be right back with our last callers, and we'll get them all in before we're finished. And I'll answer the call that the one didn't want to hold. I'll get that, too. All right? Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're on an open show. We got callers online, and we're going to go to them in a second. One caller called in and said, can you repeat the advice that you gave the 87-year-old about selling their house while on Social Security? When you sell your personal residence, okay, you sell the home you've lived in, and you lived in at least 2 years as your personal residence. So your driver's license says that's where you live. Your tax return says that's where you live. Okay, so that's called your personal residence. There's still a misunderstanding, Mike, that people think that when you sell your house, mm-hmm. I just had somebody call me yesterday. She said, I sold my house and I got, $400,000, like the guy on the Eastern Shore. He said, and right. I only paid $150 for it. And I know that there's a time frame that I've got to reinvest it in. Well, that's 25-year-old tax law.
Right.
That tax law went out in 1998, Mike. 1998, that tax law disappeared.
Yeah.
There is no reinvestment necessary. I could sell a house every 2 years, make it my personal residence, sell it every 2 years, and get a $250,000 capital gain exclusion.
You could live in a house for 2 years, wait 2.5 years after, move out of it and move it to another house for 2.5 years, and you could still sell it as your personal residence.
Absolutely. You know, and
because it's 2 in the last 5. You have to have lived in it
right.
2 years in the last 5 years.
And if I'm married, I get a $500,000 capital gains exclusion. So that's all that matters is you sit down and you say, how much did I sell the house for? And what did I pay for it? And what improvements did I put into it over the time of my living here? So the guy in Eastern Shore, he spent $125,000, right?
Yep.
He put in $75,000. His cost basis $200,000. He sold it for $400,000. That's a $200,000 gain. You get to exclude $250,000. Boom. No capital gain. If I sold a house that I bought for $500,000. And I put $50,000 into it, and I sold it for $1,450,000 gain. I'm married, $500,000 capital gain is going, boom, it's tax free. But if I sell it for $1 million and only have $400,000 of capital gain in it, of cost basis in it, now I've got a $600,000 capital gain. I can exclude $500,000 as a married couple, and I only pay taxes on $100,000 of the gain,
yep,
at whatever my capital gains rate is. So that's how it works, and it never impacts Social Security. There's rare occasions where it could make some Social Security income taxable, but that's another story. And we're going to Mac in Cadenceville. Mac, how can we help you?
Well, to a certain extent, you've answered a few of my questions.
I'm clairvoyant. Did you know that?
I understand that on Wednesdays they have a pretty incredible financial planner.
Well, we appreciate that.
That guy earlier mentioned that, I have a piece of property. It's not in the state of Maryland. It's actually in South Carolina.
Okay.
And I'm getting ready to put it on the market, and I am going to be selling it for more than what I owe on it and more than what I paid for it.
Now, this is just a second home or an investment property or a lot that you bought or something, right? It's not your personal residence, though, right?
It's actually my primary residence.
Okay.
I established residency in South Carolina, and it is my primary residence, but I'm going to sell it, and I'll probably, unfortunately, move back to Maryland and make the little junky place that I have.
Are you
up
single
here.
Or married?
I am a widowed, whatever.
Now, this gets really interesting, okay? So, did you and your spouse live in that house?
The one in South Carolina?
Yeah.
No, sir.
So, she didn't live in there with you?
No, sir.
You lived there by yourself?
That is correct. I bought it about 6 or 7 years ago.
And she had already passed away?
She died about 20 years ago.
Okay, so... I was, you know, if you, you know, when you live in a house that's your primary residence and your spouse dies, and then 2 or 3 years later you sell that primary residence, the whole calculation gets really interesting. But we don't have time to go into that, and you didn't give me the opportunity to go into it. But so go ahead and ask your question.
Well, I'm wondering what the capital gains ramifications are going to be.
So what did you pay for the place?
I paid, I think, $600,000 for it.
What'd you sell it for?
Well, it's not sold yet. I'm getting ready to put it on the market. It's going to be on the market for $725,000.
Well, you're not going to make $250,000, so it's going to be tax free.
Well, I only owe for.
What you owe is irrelevant. It's what you paid for it. It's all that matters. Okay? Totally take mortgages out of the equation. It has nothing to do with the tax equation. The tax equation is what did you pay for it? What did you put into improvements for it? Regardless if you borrowed money to do it or not, what did you put in improvements for it? What did it sell for? What's your gain? Gain's $150,000, subtracted from $250,000, no taxable capital gain.
Got it.
See, most people do try to add that mortgage in. They think, you know, well, the equity in my house is the value of the house minus my mortgage. That's my equity. Well, that's not from tax point of view. Your equity in your house from a tax point of view, what did I pay for it? What did I put in improvements? Subtracted from what I sell it for.
Got it. Okay, thank you. The 823 save number.
Right.
That number is the number I can call.
Yeah, that's our main number we've had for 40 years now, actually.
Right, and I can call that number to set up it looks like some sort of a consultation or something.
Yeah, we do what we call a free intro. We do about an hour with somebody just talking about what we do, and they can ask any question we want. We just, you know, try to just give them better understanding of how we work and what our fees are and so forth. All right?
I'll call that number. Thank
All
you
right,
very much.
Mac, thank
I
you.
I called it, but it says that your hours are until 5:30.
What's the matter with these people in our company, Mike?
Hey, we're still working.
Yeah, we're still working. All right, Mac, you take care. It is tax season. There are some of them probably still working.
Yep.
You know, Jim in Ellicott City, how can we help you, buddy?
Yes, hi. I got a relatively quick question. With all the war going on in Ukraine, I was curious, so I took a look at my Vanguard Total International Stock Market Index Fund to see if it had any investments in Russia, and it does, 0.8%, 9% in Communist China. Neither one am I happy with. So I spoke to have an advisor actually at Vanguard, and we had a discussion about it. He says I could get out of it at a loss, and then I have a developed market mutual fund which invests in developed Asian economies, not including China, South Korea, Japan, Australia, et cetera. Okay.
Okay.
Which is good. So I said, do not reinvest for the first quarter any distribution from the total international stock market. Put it into the settlement fund, and then we'll move it into the developed market fund. I don't want to invest in that fund anymore. Things have changed over time. I haven't looked at it in a while. Do you have any suggestions with regard to that?
You know, I own the international fund, and, you know, I'm not going to pull out. I wouldn't want to own Russia. I could tell you that. I wouldn't want to.
Oh, you do. You got 0.8%.
You know, 0.8% is like saying I've got nothing, you know?
Okay.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I'll bet you anything that the Vanguard fund will probably sell those 0.8% shares,
yeah.
You know, because everybody else is selling them too. But,
right.
You know, I... You know, I need the diversification of international, and I'd have to look at the ones we own, because every international fund has a little different flavor.
Yep.
And how about the 9% with China?
I'm not worried about China. I'm not concerned about China. I understand, and that's what makes a market go around, Jim. That's the beauty.
I don't like
it.
Blood money, okay? I don't need that kind of money.
I understand. But, you know, the United States made a lot of mistakes itself over the years.
Yeah,
I'm not getting into that kind of stuff, but I'm just saying that we're not perfect, they're not perfect.
That's true. Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Anyway, Mikey, I got to run.
Yeah.
This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.